Live 95, WRJMLP, Cullman.
Does she wake up, put on makeup in the bathroom, and go to work and stay real late and text you she'll be back soon? But her boss runs his fingers round her pretty blonde.
Welcome back to Cullman Live on 95.5. This is Danielle.
And Christopher Greer.
Welcome in. With tonight's guests, we have Derek Sherrill from New Life Church out of Arab. And our special guest tonight is Sheriff Matt Dentry of Cullman County. Hi, Matt.
Good to be here.
So, as we always do here on Cullman Live 95.5, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Absolutely. Lord, we thank you for this evening again. And this opportunity that you set before us and the platform that you've given us, Lord, to help and reach people and encourage people. We pray that your blessing will be upon this show tonight and you'll reach someone's heart, encourage someone. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, welcome in, Brother Sherrill. What's been going on
with you?
Good
to be back. Well, just staying busy with the church as always, getting through the holidays and ate too much for Thanksgiving.
Did you know?
I had some family in from Ohio, and we just ate. And then when we didn't have anything to eat, we found something to eat. So, trying to work on getting some of that taken care of. But it's been a fun holiday, and just loving life, loving the Lord, trying to continue to grow a church and bless people. And I'm thankful for that opportunity for sure.
Well, you're doing a fine job of it. We're very proud of you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming in every week, every other week, doing the show with us. We appreciate it, to spread the gospel. That is what our listeners need, and we want to give them what they need.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So tell me what you've been working on, what you've been studying on.
Well, I was driving in today, and I met someone at a phone shop today. I went to get my phone looked at. It was acting silly. And I get in there, and like God always does, he just puts somebody in. They say a little something that sparks some interest. We get talking and realize that there's a lot of connections. And sometimes we feel like that we're the only one going through a struggle. Or maybe our family's the only one that's in a battle. And when you're in the battle, all you hear is the clanking of the swords and the gory things that are going on in your personal life. But when you back up and start talking to people and thinking and listening with God's ears, you start realizing you're not the only one in a battle. I'm in battles. I've got children, and I've got battles in my family and in my church and with my friends and relationships. But I started talking to this lady today, and I realized that there are hurting people everywhere you look. There are opportunities to bless and help somebody. And sometimes I get so overwhelmed by the battle that's right in front of me that I lose sight of the people that are begging for help. And this is another thing, Brother Greer, that I found out, that if I start reaching out to people that are hurting, it's like God automatically takes care of my battle for me.
Yes.
I lose so much focus on what's going on with me. And I start helping the people that are around me, and God just comes in and takes care of all that stuff for me. And then I think about the scripture when the Pharisees, you know, the Pharisees were tricky anyway. They were always trying to catch Jesus in a dilemma where that they could really mess him up. And they asked him about the greatest commandment, and his answer and his reply was, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then he said the second one was to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, there's a lot of people that call themselves quote unquote Christians, right?
Right.
I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Christ. Those are the cliche. And that would be the first commandment that was most important that he mentioned to the Pharisees. But the second one he mentioned was love your neighbor as yourself. And there's a lot of people that have grabbed that first hook, but they forget the second one. And there's another passage in the Word of God that tells us this: by this, men will know that you are my disciples because you have love one to another. I've heard a lot of people quote that passage as you have love one for another.
It says on.
I can have love for people and never really care what's going on. But if I have love to you, then it's more than a word. It's an expression. It's me reaching out. It's the time that you sit with somebody that you could be somewhere else. You could be right. doing something else.
It takes it from just being a word to being reality.
Right. It's a true action. It's another passage that says, "You show me your faith without works, and I'll show you my faith by my works." It's an action. And loving God and being a quote-unquote Christian is an action. It's not a cliche. And there's a lot of people that would love to be able to live their own lifestyle, do their own thing, and when it's convenient to call on the name of the Lord, call on the name of the Lord. When it's convenient to help people, help people. But true calling of God causes us to look for opportunities to love our neighbor as ourself and fulfill that part of the greatest commandments that he reached out to the Pharisees. And there was reasons that he did that. We don't have time to go into all those reasons. But people, I was raised by parents that were so loving and so kind that they gave everybody a chance after chance after chance. I watched my parents. People would come to our house. My dad's a minister as well. They would come to our house. I watched my mother, who would take bill money and go buy food to cook for people to minister to them because they were in a dilemma. But I never remember our power being turned off. I never remember us being late on any kind of payments or losing cars or any of that kind of stuff.
God
took
care of it.
There's just something about having a heart for people that God always takes care of those that love. He said, we were privileged, Mr. Gentry, you'll appreciate this. We were privileged as a church to go to our city jail at Thanksgiving and feed about 30 people.
Heck yeah.
That were in jail and the officers that were there caring for them. We've had over 1,500 people hit that one picture that we posted about that.
Yeah.
And there's something about seeing people that love people that it just moves us. And this time of year, people get real busy.
Mm-hmm.
This time of year, everybody's got, well, I've got to make enough money so that I can buy this for my kids or that for my kids because it's Christmas. But when you take time out and you love the people, and it's what Jesus said. He said, when you went to those in prison, you did it to me. When you do it to those less fortunate people, whether it's self-inflicted or not, he said, you've done that to me. And there's something about caring about people when they're hurting and rejoicing with people when they're moving forward. There's a lot of people that they'll be your buddy when you're in a ditch with them. But if you ever get out of the ditch, they're going to look at you and start saying, yeah, but you did this the wrong way. You're trying to steal my glory. You're trying to take this away from
Amen.
Me.
Amen. Amen.
You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
But what God called us to do is to rejoice with them that rejoice and to mourn in sorrow with them that mourn in sorrow. And it all goes back to one of those greatest commandments that he was talking about. We live in a very selfish world. We live in a world, unfortunately, we live in a world that a lot of stuff comes back to me. What have you done for me lately? Y'all remember that song, don't you? What have you done for me lately? But you have to get to a place that you're not selfish, but you're selfless. And when we get selfless, God gets so much bigger. That's the scripture that says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Magnifying the Lord is allowing him to be as big as he is so that I'm as small as I need to be.
Yes.
And when we get those priorities right, we don't just influence those that are in our four walls, but we influence those that we don't even know. That's what's happening on this show in particular. It's people we don't even know. Maybe we've never even met them. But somehow or another, they're hearing or they're watching and they're listening and they're getting hope, not just from the pastor that comes into town and talks for a few minutes, but with everything that we do, we're stretching and extending a hand to help people. That's what the rodeo's about. It's everything that we're doing is we're reaching out to love people and to care about people.
Do all in, what is it? Word and deed. Do all in the name of the Lord.
Right.
And if you're not doing it with love in your heart, you need to start all over and do it again because you're doing it wrong.
Yep. Absolutely.
And, you know, so many people have that I mentality. This week has been tough, but like you said, if I concentrated on what someone else needed, all them obstacles went away.
Mm-hmm. You know who in my life really does that well? And sometimes I'm a little jealous of her. because she's so natural at it. That's my wife.
Oh, is she ever?
Jennifer.
I will agree with that.
I mean, I watch her work basically without tiring for other people just constantly. And it encourages me. It encourages me to try to take that extra step and do that extra thing, even though I'm tired. Even though, I'd really like to sit down in my chair and watch a football game. But you know what? I could go do this, you know, to help my neighbor. And Jennifer is so good at that. What we do sends ripples, like dropping a stone in the pond. You know, feeding those inmates for Thanksgiving. You don't know whose life that may have changed.
Right.
You know, we've got people in our church that I am proud to call brothers and sisters who just have that one hand outstretched to them, just one person showing them that they care. And now they've changed their lives around.
Yeah.
You know, they're off of drugs. They're clean. They're affecting their own community.
Right. Right.
And we do not really realize what demonic forces that we come up against when we exit our doors every day. Yes. This whole world is corrupt in some way. I was in a conversation this week on Facebook with a man that was talking about going to multiple churches and visiting multiple churches. One thing that I do know is denomination is not in the scripture. It is a man-made word. The Lord says to go to the people, bring the word to the people. It's great we have churches and we're bringing that fold in. You're a shepherd of that flock.
Right.
But how many of us can sit here and say we're taking the word of God out there and we're giving it away?
Yeah,
selflessly.
That's key. That's very key.
Something that I've found, if you ask God, like I don't try to bring this to an I thing, but you know, when I'm leaving to go to work, I always say a prayer.
Me too.
When I leave the house, and I ask God to keep my family safe. I ask God to keep me safe until I come back to Him. I thank God for the blessings He's given me. And I always say, and God, please let one person cross my path that I can witness to. One person that I can plant a seed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for your glory, not for mine.
Right.
And if we're open to that, usually it's there. We just have to have the wisdom and the strength to take advantage of it.
Yes.
And we three, not excluding you because you're traveling this journey with us, this door opened for us. And we sit here at this table every other Thursday, and we work on a rock station, and we're preaching the gospel. And that, to me, means everything because that's what people need. Yeah. We need to bring the word of God to them.
Right.
They might not necessarily come to it on their own, but there may be something that you say, or Christopher says, right, that will be that seed that's planted. So this show to me is such a blessing at where God has taken it. Christopher and I have just been hands off and rocking it out every other week.
Yeah, and it's the beginning.
It is the beginning, and I do realize that.
Focus the beginning, so it has to continue as you continue to open yourself to God. Then God continues to open the right doors at the right time.
Concentration on others.
Absolutely.
Know, we're going to go back to your sermon that you're preaching right now about the concentration on others. This is not about us.
Right.
This is about the world.
Yeah.
This is about our community. The people that we do not know, but we do love.
Right.
Because that's the part of us where we care about their soul. Because they may not own a Bible. They've never, may not have ever heard the Word of God. They've probably never had anybody request prayer for them.
How about that?
Or have prayer over them. Or to keep that hedge around their family. Christopher prays every day.
It's as simple as going up to somebody and saying, hey, you seem troubled. Would you mind if I pray for you? It's that simple.
Yeah.
It is.
You know, that can knock down walls.
You were talking just a few minutes ago about changes that people have and how God begins to transform people. There was a guy that came to our church, and in our city, he was one of the larger dealers in the city, drug dealers in the city.
Right.
He came to church one night. I remember where he sat. I talked to him. He said, I'll be back. Well, he didn't come back for about 2 months. But then he showed back up, and when he showed back up, the Lord filled him with His Spirit. We baptized him in the name of Jesus, and and he began to make a transition, and we began to disciple him. He's over our addiction recovery program that we have now. And what he has done is he's went from everybody knowing him as the thug of the town to now he's shining a light so bright that everybody can see the transformation that took place. And he has such a burden for those who are addicted and those who have lost family members in addiction that he set up this deal for December the 15th.
Right.
It's called A Walk to Remember, December the 15th at 10 o'clock. That's a Saturday. We'll be starting at the Arab City Park, and we'll walk from the city park to our church. And when we get to our church, our youth department and our hyphen department and some of our members are preparing a meal to feed everybody that's a part of that. We found out that we've got hundreds of people that's going to be involved in this already. And so that being said, I wanted to make mention of that. Just if one person feels the love of God or feels the love for people or from people, it sparks something. You never know the person that you win that was a Saul,
right,
of Tarsus, but turns into a Paul and a leader of many and a man who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. The same man that held the coats of those that stoned Stephen to death wrote about 2/3 of the New Testament of the Bible. Imagine that.
I am so proud of what he's doing because he and I spoke about this, and his brother Scotty Price.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, we're going to have him on show to tell his story because it is a wall banger, let me tell you.
It really is.
But, you know, this is going to raise awareness because he's asking people, if you've ever been an addict, if you have a family member that's been affected by it, come out and join us and let this city see how big this problem is.
And it's bigger than a city deal. We've got people from Huntsville that's going to be coming in and taking part of that walk just as a representation of, we've got sponsors, people that are just, they're coming on board. They're wanting to invest in this because they know that with this awareness, it will make a difference. Not just in our town where I pastor of Arab, but
right.
I know Huntsville's involved, and we invite anybody that's interested in being a part of this. This is a very important cause, and so.
And if anybody out there is listening that would like more details, it's going to be in the park at Arab. It's going to start at 10 a.m. December 15th. You can message me or Danielle, and we will give you all the details that you need. You know, come join us because this is affecting all of our communities.
It is. It is. And we have Sheriff Gentry here with us, and I'm sure he could attest to the same thing. That it's an epidemic, but the Bible said, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray. That's the key right there. Be humble and pray. Seek my face. Turn from your wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven. There's a progression here.
Right.
And we're in these steps of this progression to get God to move in our behalf and in our cities. And wouldn't you like for it to be known that this whole area, what they call Meth Mountain where we live, and this area in Coleman, which is riddled with highways and byways and passages for people to come through, wouldn't it be wonderful for this area to be known as the place that was just transformed because the people of those areas gave themselves completely to God and God just flipped the script?
And God can.
And God can.
He's the only one that can. But we have to do the work to get there.
That's right.
And we have to be the servants that God wants us to be, yeah, in every form and fashion. And going out into the world and spreading the word of God is the most important
thing.
That's
it. That's it.
Brother Cheryl, I appreciate you so much.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
You're such a gentleman, and I love that you bring the word of God here every week. And Christopher and I adore you.
Well, I love y'all. Thank you for the opportunity.
I even like him when he tells me that I'm wrong.
What?
I mean, he has license to do that, and the way he does it is artistic almost, you know, because he knows I'm stubborn as a mule, so he'll just he'll tell me in a way that I come around to it myself, and I'm like, wow, I just got played like a cheap fiddle. Well, thank you very much, Brother Cheryl, for bringing the Word of God. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back after these messages to pay the bills. You're listening to Coleman Live on 95.5, Coleman's only independent FM station.
Your eyes on me, a
providing Coleman with a unique blend of music. You're listening to Live 95, Coleman's independent radio. WRJMLP, Coleman.
Are you having trouble seeing your computer screen? Are the traffic signs looking a little fuzzy? Are the things that you used to be able to see looking just a little out of focus? Dr. Wayne Fuller has been helping Coleman see better for years, and he's still located on 2nd Avenue between the Catholic Church and Highway 278. You can call his friendly staff at 256-734-1121, and they'll be happy to get you seeing better, whether it's with contacts, glasses designed just for you, or a low-cost alternative to LASIK. Again, Dr. Wayne Fuller is available at 256-734-1121.
Live 95, Coleman's independent radio, is proud to present yet another local community program for Coleman. Join us on Tuesday starting at 4 p.m. for a show that takes a look at relationships and mental health. Here is your chance to talk to an impartial professional. Talk about relationships with your family, relationships with your employer, relationships with yourself and everyone around you. Join Dr. Howard Rogers as we shine the spotlight on topics most people agree aren't discussed enough. Relationships with one another and mental health. Go ahead and put the station's phone number in your phone now so we can take your call on this show. 256-737-9505. That's 256-737-9505. This show is made possible by the support of the Delta Center, located at 300 First Avenue Southeast in Coleman, and by Lee's Veterinary Hospital and veterinarian Bruce Lee, located at 2126 2nd Avenue Northwest here in Coleman, or online at leesvethospital.com. We will see you Tuesday at 4 p.m. for Life Talk Live, right here on Coleman's independent radio, Coleman's Live 95.
Medical Arts Apothecary and Living Well store is located in the middle of downtown Coleman, conveniently located just a block south of the courthouse. This locally owned business offers friendly, no waiting, personal service. How can it get any better than that? Well, here's how. How about the fact that they even deliver within the city limits of Coleman? You've got a sick kid? Well, what could be better than calling Medical Arts and asking them to deliver the medicine that you need? In fact, I can't think of another pharmacy that does that. They also have a large selection of food for special diets, as well as health, food, oils, and supplements. Flu shots are available, too. They can be reached at 734-4933 or online at medicalartswellnessrx.com. Let Medical Arts Apothecary save your day.
Hey, this is Susan Atkinson with Medical Arts Apothecary and Living Well Natural Store. We have proudly been serving Coleman and its surrounding areas for over 60 years, and we appreciate your continued business.
Allstate agent Whitney Aldridge is now serving Coleman. She lives and works here just like you. And with all kinds of local insurance advice, Wendy is someone you can count on to protect all that's good in your life. Wendy makes it easy to save on the quality protection you need. She'll even help do the switching and paperwork for you. You can stop by Wendy's new office today for a free quote, located at 2130 2nd Avenue Northwest or Highway 31 just north of Highway 157. That's 2130 2nd Avenue Northwest or Highway 31 just north of Highway 157.
Welcome back to Coleman Live on 95.5. Danielle Carnes in the house with
Christopher Greer, Pastor Derek Sherrill, and now we have a new guest.
Matt Gentry. Welcome, Matt. How are
Good
you?
Good to see y'all. Good.
So earlier last week, we kicked off Channel 2 with Coleman Now with Danielle Carnes, and you and Trent Hardman were my special guests, and that was an amazing show. I loved it. I'm excited about where we're going. Mm-hmm. I appreciate you doing that. I also know you will be on Coleman Today with Champ Crocker on Sunday night, kicking off the rodeo.
We will.
Answering some law questions. Big shout out to Champ. I also want to thank Brandon Iron for sponsoring Saving Forgotten Warriors for our veterans program we put on last Monday. We fed 650 people, 650 veterans and families. It was an amazing experience. It always is. Mm-hmm. I enjoy serving, not about me, but about them. And another announcement I have to make before we get started is I am doing a young lady, Keenan, who does the program over at West. She had the school children make decorations for that event for the veterans. So I carefully took them down. And by December the 8th is my cutoff date. I will be partnered with Brandon Iron, Save and Forgotten Warriors, and a couple workers that we have. We're taking donations at People's Bank, monetary, or we need razors, we need body wash, we need stuff for the troops. And we're going to send 75 boxes to the troops, and we're going to personalize them with all of the children's stuff. And if you would like to sponsor a box, it's $17 to ship it. So my goal is 75. If we can get any help from anybody, that would be great. Serves a good cause, and, you know, our active troops need stuff over there. So just want to do a shout-out to Jeremy Hogan. You can contact Save and Forgotten Warriors. You can go on their Facebook page. Please make your checks out to Save and Forgotten Warriors. So you and I are going on an adventure next week.
Oh, yeah. We got the rodeo. So that's always a good time.
And, of course, one of the reasons that I wanted to do the show on Channel 2 with you, Spectrum 180, is because I wanted people in our community to understand what the rodeo was about.
Sure.
And I addressed this with you because you and I came up with this idea last year to remote broadcast from there.
Yeah.
So I had the privilege of interviewing Tim Collins from Coleman Today and also 11 interviews, one including you. The things that I learned about the rodeo is now I know who Jimmy Arrington is. And I also know that the special needs kids from the Coleman County Child Development Center is what drives this rodeo.
It does. It does. You know, we're looking this year, and we kind of gauge it by how many T-shirts we give to the kids. We're looking at adding about 100 or so kids, 100-150. And so we're kind of projected to have about 1,400 or so kids at the Special Needs Rodeo this year. So it's going to be a great time.
So Matt has brought us tickets to the rodeo, which is the 7th and the 8th, which is open up to the public, December the 7th and 8th. It starts at gates open at 5:30, and Matt's going to give these away. So let's do our second caller at 256-737-9505, and I will let Matt give them away. So spread the word. That's 256-737-9505. If I don't give these away through a phone call, I'm going to give them through Facebook Live. I'll pick a winner, and I will meet with that person, and we will give them away. Compliments to the Coleman County Sheriff's Department and Matt Gentry.
Oh, yeah.
We appreciate that support. One thing that we talked about in our in this interview, as I want to show everyone, is this the rodeo book. This rodeo book is put out every year. Every sponsor in here contributes to this rodeo. The amount of money that the Sheriff's Department gives back to the Coleman school system is phenomenal. Last year was, and every year, as I understand, is $15,500.
That's right.
Matt, would you explain to people how that money is utilized, where it comes from, how it's built up, and how you distribute it?
Sure. With our sponsors, we have a lot of sponsors that say, hey, look, we want to designate, especially for the special needs children. And so we met with some of the school, the principals, advisors, and said, look, how can we help these special needs kids? I know we put on a rodeo every year, and that's just a highlight of our year and their year, but what can we do more? And so we talked about one of the things that, you know, for those teachers, the things that they need for those kids, you know, there's a lot of need. And so we have 31 schools in Coleman County, and that includes the city and the county schools. And so we give each one of those schools $500, but it is specifically designated to special needs kids, teachers, and the, those classes. It doesn't go anywhere else. And we just had tremendous response from the teachers that, hey, you don't know how much that helps us because they're already coming out of their pocket on a lot of things they do for these kids.
Right.
And that's just a little bonus that can help them utilize a resource to provide more for those kids. And it's just, for us, it's just you know, it's just an honor to be able to do that. You know, the rodeo also helps us with last year we bought vest carriers for all the deputies. You know, we have roughly 90 plus deputies, and we're a large agency, but we have a large county to cover because we cover the whole county. And I know how uncomfortable it is to wear a vest. I mean, it's like wearing it as a sauna, even in the wintertime or the summertime. Summertime's a lot worse. So these vest carriers we researched, it gives the deputies protection because they're wearing their vest, but it also gives them an avenue to, you know, if they're in the office or doing something, they can unzip it, remove it, and breathe while they have it on. But it keeps a good uniform appearance. All of our community events, from the Sheriff's Office Youth Leadership to our Citizens Academy to the firearm classes that we teach, self-defense, all of that is free to the community. And we do that through our rodeo. Our rodeo is what gives us the financial backing to put all those classes on for all those community events. It doesn't cost anything to the community. So for us, the rodeo is just the heart and soul of a lot that we do at the Sheriff's Office. And we just can't thank our sponsors enough. We asked our sponsors, hey, we want you to come out and be with the kids on Thursday. We want you to be part of that rodeo. And that really means a lot. And once they come and they're part of it, they don't ever want to leave. They tell me, oh, that's the highlight of their year, you know, seeing the smiles on those children's face. So, and that's what it's about.
It's the most amazing experience. Last year, you know, you and I talked about the media mm-hmm. outlet because we don't have any on that day.
Mm-hmm.
Coleman Today, Tim Collins and I covered it
sure.
Completely across the board. He covered it for 3 days. I only yeah. covered it for one for sure. Not Live 95.5. But one of the things that I noticed about being there on the premises and interacting with everyone mm-hmm. is how much you interact with the children.
Sure. You know, my boys, I have two boys. They're 8 and 10, and they love going. They'll be there with me. And it's just, you know, it's a highlight of my day. You know, kids are our foundation of our community, the foundation of who we are. And especially with the deputies, you know, we have deputies in all the schools, but we really want these kids to know, hey, we're here to help you. We're here to take care right. of you. You know, that's why we're here, to serve the needs of the community.
I think I'm going to take my son this yeah. year.
It's awesome. Oh, it really
a great
is.
Experience.
So one of the things that you and I have talked about in the past, so our ticket prices, and mm-hmm. you can call in 256-737-9505. I don't know how many listeners we have. I'm actually going to give Live 95.5 two tickets also, and they can give away on their Facebook Live. So if you want to comment on their Facebook Live, go to Coleman Live on 95.5. Go to their Facebook and comment, and Miss Melissa will pick a winner, and she will give them away. One of the things that really moves me so much about mm-hmm. how you do this rodeo
mm-hmm.
is how you make it affordable
sure.
for the everyday person.
Yeah.
Could you explain to the things that you have utilized putting on this event while you've mm-hmm. been in office, the things you've changed
sure.
To make it affordable to every family?
You know, by the time we get to the rodeo, our sponsors is really what allows us to do everything that we do, and they're so great and good to us. You know, our goal once we get to the rodeo is we want to make it where a normal family can come and it doesn't cost you an arm and a leg. You know,
right.
you're not going and spending $100 just to get into an event. So we try to keep the ticket prices. I will tell you, the ticket prices now, when we actually went down, are the same as they were in 1998.
Find that yeah. anywhere else.
Yeah, I'm yeah. saying that,
you know,
for sure.
And so, you know, it's, we sell hot dogs for $1, hamburgers is $2, it's $1. And we do that because we want people to have their kids there and have a good time that doesn't cause them to have to go, borrow a loan to go to an event. So, you know, it's just a good, affordable time. We want to keep it low. Even everything from our ads, we go from $25 to $2,000 sponsorships. You know, because we know for businesses and our sponsors, you know, they get hit up all the time for money. And so we want to keep it very affordable. And like I said, our ads in the book, all the way, you can go from $25 to $2,000, you know, just depending on what you can do. And our sponsors are just so great that it keeps it where once we get to the rodeo, we're given a lot of times, you know, we'll throw T-shirts in the crowds. We give bandanas to the kids as they're coming in, and just hamburger and hot dogs. Just make it where, you know, I had a friend of mine. She came and she said, "Oh my gosh," she said, "I just fed all my kids and my husband for $10." And I said, "Hey, that's great." Right. You know, I mean, you know, and that's what we want. We want them to enjoy themselves because it's really, it's just good, wholesome fun. And, I mean, it's the only event you can go to where all of the deputies volunteer their time. You know, they're not turning in overtime. They're not turning in time. They volunteer their time to be there. And they're with the community. I mean, that's the biggest thing I tell everybody when I'm out in the arena or whatever. I want you to talk to your deputies, see them. And that way you get to know who your deputies are. Because we're all part of the community. You know, the office of sheriff doesn't belong to me. It doesn't belong to the deputies. It belongs to the community. And if the community's strong, then we're strong. And that's very important.
So the volunteers, we have a nurse on staff that's one of my friends, which is Sonia Trammell mm-hmm. Shedd.
Mm-hmm.
And she takes care of all the guys at the sheriff's department. And she also comes and volunteers her time at this event.
She does. Sonia does a phenomenal job, you know, in the jail and... you know, at the rodeo, anything we ask, she's always there to support us.
And I don't know, are you taking any more volunteers from the outside for the 6th?
We're pretty much full on the 6th as far as volunteers because we have all the sponsors and stuff. Anybody, and I'll tell you, we're already full up on volunteers on the 7th and 8th.
Okay.
And so we really, most of the time, we actually, the volunteers hit us pretty early. So, you know, by midsummer, everything's already laid out. And that's just how blessed we are. And the rodeo is, you have to start early.
I love the rodeo. Everybody knows that about me. It's not the cowboys. I'm just telling you, it's kids. But what I enjoy so much about the children
mm-hmm.
is to watch the little faces.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they love it.
To come out of there with a dry eye, if you can do it. I don't know what to tell you. Because just the way... The Coleman County system works together, y'all. I'm being real. We see children being carted in on buses. Mm-hmm. The drivers of the buses, you know, they're running their crew that morning to school. They're coming in. Them kids are going across the road and back. And just the work that force that is put in this event is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you got to remember, we got kids from the county schools. We invite the city schools and the private schools. So we invite kids, and the Margaret Jean Jones Center will have, they'll come, and then they'll bring all of their folks. And it's, you know, we've got guys that have been coming to the rodeo since 1998. We got guys that leave school that continue to come back to the rodeo. Their families will bring them. Right. So, you know, and Chick-fil-A is our major sponsor for the rodeo as far as that day. They feed all those kids, and it's just phenomenal what they do with those children. And, you know, we're blessed to have Randy and Chick-fil-A and them because used to we would just cook hot dogs for the kids. So Chick-fil-A is a lot better treat than our hot dogs that we cook. So,
you know, Chick-fil-A is so great about mm-hmm. doing stuff like that. When my son was in a pre-K program here in mm-hmm. Coleman, and they asked me and my father if we would come in and talk about what we do
mm-hmm.
is we drive trains. We're locomotive engineers. And we said, sure. Well, we'd gone to Chick-fil-A like a couple of days before and we got a kid's meal and it came with a train toy.
Mm-hmm.
So I called the manager and I said, look, this is what we're doing. Would it be possible for me to buy some of these toys for the kids in the class?
Mm-hmm.
So each one could have one to take home. You know what? Just stop by. We'll have it ready. How many kids? And I told him, he said, okay, we'll have it ready. So we get there, and there's this big box, and inside the box is individual bags with the toys, gift certificates, mm-hmm. coupons. I mean, they took care of those kids so great. Plus, I love the food's wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, and they lay by in store because they're not open on the Lord's Day, and that's my favorite thing about Chick-fil-A
mm-hmm.
Is because that's where – the love is
mm-hmm.
because Sunday is set aside for your day of rest, and that is set aside for your family.
That's right.
And Chick-fil-A, I interviewed Chick-fil-A last year. The things and the amount of things that they do, that last year we had 1,350 kids. We're going to top that number this year, I know. Every single child goes home with, you know, eats Chick-fil-A while they're there, and that's provided.
Yep.
I mean, that's such a vast donation. It's phenomenal to me.
Yeah.
You know, I remember, I guess I had just moved back to Alabama. We had a pretty pretty heavy snow down in Birmingham. And I remember hearing about the Chick-fil-A on 280, you know, drivers getting stuck. They opened up their restaurant and let people stay there overnight. Then they started cooking them food, you know, and feeding them and going out to the people who were stuck in cars in the snow, giving them a hot meal. You know, it all goes back to what you were talking about earlier, Brother Cheryl. You know, showing love to your neighbors and not just saying it, but doing it and meaning it.
Because you can talk that talk all day long. It's the walk in the walk. And volunteering and just the impact that these children from this rodeo have had on my life. It's not about the cowboys to me. It's not about the bull riding, which is my favorite, by the way.
You know I'm going to be hooked. As soon as I bring my son to this, I'm going to be hooked.
It is really, really good because I went on the 6th and then I went on the 8th last year, too. So I got to enjoy the rodeo because I do enjoy the rodeo. But just to see these kids' faces, it is the most amazing feeling in the world that Sheriff Gentry, and listen, he'll be out in the middle of the arena now.
Right.
And he will be riding stick horses. I'm here to tell you, I saw it. I saw it.
It's hard to get thrown from a stick horse.
It is. It's a lot easier to get thrown from one of my other horses.
Sheriff Gentry, thank you for what you do.
I appreciate y'all.
Not just with the rodeo, but, you know, growing up, my father was a policeman. And, you know, to you and all the people who work with you, thank you. Because you guys are out there on the sharp end every day, keeping people like me and her and Brother Cheryl, keeping our family safe.
Well, we appreciate that. We appreciate it.
And I know that you were on the ballot, and congratulations.
Well, thank you.
For your next run. Yeah. And we could not be prouder to have someone represent us in Coleman County. It's not just me. Our whole community feels that way. One of the things that I wanted to ask you about the rodeo in particular. How many years has the rodeo been running?
Since 1998. In 14... So it started in 1998, and in 14 they'd shut it down. And so when we took office, we had to get anytime we take money in, we have to have legislation, a law that allows us to do that. So Representative Corey Harbison, he drafted a rodeo bill for us. So now we have the law that will allow us to do it, you know, forever if you know it continues. So that's a good thing.
Well, I want to do a shout out to Chris Chambers at the Coleman Child Development Center of the phenomenal job that he does. And Trent Hardiman, whom I've had the pleasure of interviewing now, and I'm so intensely my heart lies there at the work that these guys do.
Yeah, it's special seeing those guys with those kids and we do that.
Yeah, so. Trent had said that there was right at 140-something children last year. They're over 200-plus now. And so they can attend from school age to 21.
Yeah.
And he was telling me about one of the things Matt brought up is how many of your students do you see after the fact? You know, that they've graduated, went out into the workforce. And he was telling us a story about, you know, some of the one of the students that he had ran into and how he had a job and was a productive citizen and how that program is set up to work effectively.
Yeah. And it's, they do a phenomenal job with it, Chris and those guys. And you know, it's really about the kids and getting them to feel normal.
Right.
To feel like they're contributing and making a difference. And those kids love it. And that goes back to our love for the rodeo and what we can share with those children.
Right.
And it's just a great time. The teachers tell us, they said they cannot give the shirts out too early because once they give the rodeo shirts out, those kids know. And it's and they'll ask them every day, hey, is this a rodeo day? Is this a rodeo? So, and that's one, you know, one of the things we try to do a lot of advertising. Of course, we got our book. This is last year's book.
Yes, it is. Because I don't have a new one.
No. So
but I will
have
one.
We're just getting them. Yeah. And one of the things we do is the deputies, after the rodeo, the books go in every business. Every business we go to, deputies are taking them. You know, we try to give a lot of advertising out. This is some of our major sponsors on the back here. You know, so they get the recognition that they need, you know, for contributing. And then all of our sponsors is in the book. And so it's just a great time. I try to aggravate, Sheriff Blakely. He's a sheriff in Limestone County. He just won his 10th term. He puts on a huge rodeo. I think he even owns his own arena up there. But he I'll aggravate him and say, now, how thick's your book? And we'll have a little competition. So,
well, the Sheriff's Rodeo will be December the 7th, and that's on a Friday, and Saturday, December the 8th. The rodeo gates open at 5:30, rain or shine. I suggest you come and get a seat quickly. It starts at 7:30.
That's right.
And do you open it up?
We do.
I thought you did. I was going to put you on the spot because I already knew you did.
No, we, you know, when we open it up at 5:30, we're taking people in. And I will give a word of advice. I would get there early because if you get there late, you may be standing.
Right.
I know last year on Saturday night at 6:30, we were standing room only. And that was at 6:30, and we still had an hour to go. So it's just a great time.
So bring your family out. Sheriff Gentry will be there. The Coleman County Ag Center, December the 7th and December the 8th on Highway 31 here in Coleman. It's affordable, and you will enjoy it. And right now, I'm going to turn the tables on Sheriff Gentry.
Yep.
I know that we had something happen in our community, not here in Coleman, but here in Alabama. And I know Christopher Greer is very interested in discussing that. So I'm going to give him the floor. And I want to do a shout-out before we start. Mace Food Hall, tomorrow night, Brian Hayes, Bethenia Hayes, and Nick Faulkner, which is Trifecta, will be playing from 7 to 11. Special guest, Baybrook. And Nick Faulkner with Dreamcatchers will also be there. Parade tree lighting ceremony. The parade will be on time tomorrow night, 6 o'clock. And the lighting of the tree will be there after at the Depot Park. Okay. So that coincides. I know there's been a little controversy on Facebook. I'm trying to straighten it out with television and with radio. So that will go on. The Coleman County Fair Parade, Christmas Parade in Hansville, is rescheduled for Sunday. So
Coleman
County Christmas Parade is in Hansville, and it is rescheduled because of rain coming in on Saturday for Sunday. So, Sheriff Gentry, I know that Christopher wants to drill you with some questions. Thank you so much for being our guest.
No, thank you.
Sheriff Gentry, we talked a little bit about this before the show.
Sure.
I'm a concealed carry permit holder. Yeah. My wife is as well. And we have a lot of that here in the state of Alabama.
Yeah.
You know, we love
our
football. We
have a lot in Coleman.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We love football, barbecue, and...
And our guns.
And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
We had a situation, you know, down at the mall in Birmingham, in Hoover, you know, where I'm not going to say this person was right or this person was wrong because all the details are not known.
Yeah.
But my question to you is this. If you are a concealed carry holder, and let's say you find yourself in an active shooter situation, and the police are now coming into the building, you know, to take control of the situation. What should you do?
Okay. No, it's a great question, and I'm probably one of the most pro Second Amendment sheriffs in the state. You know, I meet with Bama Carry, a lot of the open carry groups, and we discuss things, and we do a lot of meetings together. But one of the biggest things I like to do is educate people.
Right.
Because if you can legally own and possess a firearm, I want you to.
Mm-hmm.
But also I want to give you the tools to do it successfully and safely.
Right.
So that's why, you know, we just finished up another firearms class last Saturday where we actually take citizens to the range. We go over things with them, how to use it, what kind of holsters, and we do all of that. The main thing to remember, when you're in any kind of situation, and actually I had a cousin of mine, she was down there at the mall, I mean, just right by the guys as the shooting started. You know, our main goal, number one, is for you to get safe. You know, if you can escape the threat, that's what we want to do. Now, it's almost a tactical nightmare for law enforcement. So if we have an active shooter, we are usually getting flooded with calls, but the calls are coming so fast for us to get information out, there's going to be a delay. So we're running into an unknown. We in law enforcement look for threats. So if I'm going on an active shooter situation and I pull up and there's 12 people out there with guns, I cannot tell you which one are good guys and which one are bad guys.
You're just going to tell everybody, put it down.
Yeah.
You know, no sudden moves. Put the gun down.
And so what we tell people is this. If the threat is down, you know, when law enforcement start to arrive, put your weapon down.
Right.
Put it away. Comply with our demands. You know, we're going to be getting out. We're probably going to be screaming. They're probably going to be yelling for you to do stuff. Just comply. You know, because what happens sometimes is we don't know what you know, and you don't know what we know. And so you see in some of the in the incidents, there is a dialogue of discussion of, I'm not doing this. And we're telling you, yes, do this. No, I'm not doing this. Well, the moment somebody doesn't comply, then our threat level goes out the roof.
Right.
And so we don't know what your intent is. And what happens is those sudden movements, you know, we pull up and say, hey, put weapons down, whatever. Well, if somebody hears it and they turn and they've got a weapon in their hand and then they turn towards the officer.
That's a threat.
We don't know if they're a good guy or bad guy. And so if we're screaming, put it down, and you turn and point a weapon towards an officer, you know, there's a good chance that you could get shot.
Well, maybe it's because I was brought up in a different time, but, you know, I think a lot of it comes to common sense.
It does.
You know, if it's never a good idea not to comply with a law enforcement officer.
Sure.
You know, if they tell you to do something, you should do it.
Well, I'll go and do on this basis of level of getting stopped on a traffic stop. Now, if I get stopped, I've been in law enforcement since 1999. When I get stopped, you know, if it's at night, first thing I do is turn the light on in my vehicle.
Yep.
I keep my hands on the steering wheel. I'm 10 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
And typically when an officer walks up, I will tell them, hey, before I get my wallet, I just want to let you know that I've either got my duty weapon or my backup weapon. You know, whichever one, I'm saying, hey, I've got my duty weapon on. And they'll, you know, then they, it starts a dialogue of, well, are you in law enforcement? Yes. And so, but what I don't want them to see is me getting my wallet, and when I pull it back, then you can see my, they're seeing the butt of my weapon.
Right.
You know, because I want to give them all the information I can to keep their threat level down. And so that's very important today. I mean, you can go on social media today and look at all the law enforcement shootings. It's kind of like the old analogy of, hey, get stopped, jump out of the vehicle, run back to the law enforcement officer. Well, you know, years and years ago, they would say, get out of your car. Well, now you don't do that.
No.
You know, because there's so many shootings with law enforcement where they get out, bad guy jumps out and just starts shooting through the windshield. So it's a different time. But the biggest thing is, in a high-stress, active shooter situation like that, number one, keep yourself safe.
Mm-hmm.
Get to an area where you're barricaded or the threat's away from you. But if you come in contact with a law enforcement officer, number one, comply with their orders. If you are armed and you have the weapon in your hand, put it down.
Right.
You know, if you see them coming and the threat's away and the threat's down, just go ahead and lay it down. Mm-hmm. Then that way your hands is up. Mm-hmm. If you're calling 911 and you're part of the situation, maybe you shot and killed the bad guy, then when you're telling them, saying, hey, this is who I am, this is what I look like, this is what I'm wearing, when I see the officers pull up, I'm going to put my weapon down. And that way you're telling the dispatcher, who can then tell the officers what you're going to do when you see them.
Right.
So that way they know, hey, you know, the guy's wearing a silver vest with a blue shirt. He's armed. He shot the bad guy. But when he sees law enforcement, you're going to see him on the phone, put it down, and I'm going to get my hands up.
Right.
You know, because what happens sometimes, innocent people say, well, why should I put my hands up? You know, I didn't do anything wrong. I don't know why I should get my hands up or get down. Well, you got to remember, you have law enforcement officers that are coming from everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they don't know who's good and who's bad. And so that's just a sign of compliance. Hey, get your hands up, get on the ground. That way they know, okay, they're not a threat. And that's what they're looking for. And when you come on those scenes, you're looking for threats. And it's a bad place to be in law enforcement, as far as when you go on a scene like that, because you don't know. You know, think about how many people's at the mall. I mean, there's thousands of people there. So you've
especially got this time of the year.
Yep.
You've got people running. You've got some people that are armed. You don't know where they're, and it's just a no-win situation.
I know also when you're pulled over by an officer, they touch the back of your car. They put their fingerprint on your car.
Mm-hmm.
That is to safety net them. If that person pulls off, their fingerprint is on that car.
Yeah.
That's how they roll.
Yep.
Yeah. So always comply, you know, that's what my parents taught me.
Sure.
You know, if you get pulled over, keep your hands where they can see them. Turn your dome light on.
Yeah.
If you have a gun, and I've been in this situation before, tell them I am armed. I'm a concealed carry holder.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
My pistol is wherever it's at.
Yeah.
I would just want you to have all the information.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the same thing complies to a woman, too, because most of us conceal in our purse or our glove box.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
There are two places that we conceal.
Yeah.
So it's very important to make sure you give that information up front, because I don't want to reach in my wallet, or I don't want to reach in my glove box and get my insurance information and my gun be right there.
Yeah.
I want him to know beforehand.
Sure.
So I want to, again, remind everyone December the 15th is Walk to Remember in the Arab Park. The time it starts is at 10 a.m. And I want to thank all of our guests, especially Matt Gentry. I don't know where that come from. Matt Gentry, our Coleman County Sheriffs. And we will be giving our tickets away for the rodeo here on Live 95.5 and Coleman Live. We'll do them through Facebook since we didn't get any phone calls. I know our feed's blowing up, and we've got quite a few watchers, and I appreciate that. You can check me out this next week on Channel 2. I will be opening up a new edition of a different side of Coleman Now. So that's on Spectrum 180. You can also check me out on One Stop for Coleman Facebook page. Christopher Greer, are you going to pray us out? Or are you going to ask our honored guest or Mr. Cheryl, who's praying us out?
Sheriff Gentry, would you mind?
I can. We will bow our heads. Dear Lord, we come to you today. Lord, we give you thanks for everyone that's in this room. Lord, we give you thanks for their leadership and their dedication to you and their community, Lord. Lord, we ask that you place your wings of protection over our children, our law enforcement, and our community, and keep us safe, Lord. We ask that you continue to guide our direction and our decisions, Lord, and do things that is pleasing to you, Lord, and to shine your light upon our community, Lord. And we do all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen.
There's one more thing I'd like to add. My partner on Understanding the Law, Melvin Hastings, he has lost his father-in-law. I'd like you guys to please keep him in your prayers and keep his mother-in-law in your prayers, please. This is Danielle Carnes on Coleman Live 95.5.
Christopher Greer, thank you for listening. And God bless you.
And God bless America.
Good night.